Do you participate in politics? What about government? Have you served in your town, village, city, or county? Do you think it's your responsibility to do so? These are some big questions that many in Wisconsin are asking citizens to ask themselves. It's been reported that civic and political engagement at the local level is on decline, especially in smaller, more rural parts of the state. It's gotten bad enough in some places that volunteers are being offered money to attend important meetings, and monthly council meetings are being rescheduled to accommodate busy families as much as possible. This hour, we're asking whether more people in western Wisconsin and across the state need to get involved in their communities, in their local government, in politics in general. This is The West Side. I've got two guests with me for this hour's discussion. Of course, we would love to hear from our listeners, too. If you've got a question or a comment, 1-800-228-5615. We're talking about participation in local government, state government, federal government, you name it. How do you participate? Or do you kind of sit on the sidelines? Do you think ever that that it's a civic duty, like we learned in high school, to at least vote or to even get involved in a party? What have you? Let us know, 1-800-228-5615. And you can also post on the West Side Facebook page. The two guests I have this hour. Joining me in studio is Brian Westrate. He is the Wisconsin 3rd Congressional District Republican Party Chair. Brian Westrate, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Joining us by phone from a traffic jam in Pewaukee is Jerry Deshane. I called him out. I'm sorry, Jerry. Jerry is the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. He has been in that role for a long time and knows the local government issues inside and out. Jerry Deshane, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Rich. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. And again, listeners, 1-800-228-5615. So I want to start real broadly, and I think most people understand, or at least have an idea of what it means to be engaged politically or being civically engaged. Jerry Deshane, what do you think that means?
Well, it can mean everything from simply showing up to vote on whether it's spring election or the presidential election, up to running for public office yourself, running for president, if you will. But everything in between, serving on a library commission, it's all part and parcel of the same thing.
All part of the cogs that keep the machine spinning. Brian Westrate, anything to add to that as far as what it means to be civically engaged or politically?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Jerry certainly hit on kind of the high points. I mean, I think that voting should be kind of a bare minimum. I mean, really, ideally, we'd like to see 100% participation in elections. But there are literally innumerable ways that a person can engage in civic activity, you know, starting with voting. But then just, I mean, even showing up to a protest is a civic activity. Going to any number of municipal meetings or, as you said, serving on a library board, serving on a water district board, serving in any one of the many capacities that every municipality – I mean, we've got 72 counties, just counties in this state. We've got – what is it, like 2,400 or 2,200 school districts or 220 school districts, whatever it is.
Yeah, huge number.
There are innumerable bodies that need men and women of – you know, quality and care to serve on them. And, I mean, as you've kind of hit on, I think the point of the show today is just people are not engaging certainly the way that – I mean, I'm 38 and I think you're kind of my generation. Mm-hmm. Certainly the way our parents' generation did, much less our grandparents' generation. So you know, you literally have to not be opening your eyes to not see opportunities to be civically engaged.
Yeah, and there's a lot of big questions that lie therein, if it's a generational thing and et cetera. So we'll get into that. But Jerry Deshane, I wanted to go back to the, you know, the library board or the canvas board or whatever. People might not know that that these are not elected positions, so a person can just volunteer, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, you know, something that I want to make sort of a big picture observation, we are literally a government of the people. And that's not just, you know, words on a dusty piece of paper. That's the way the whole system was designed. It was designed around people volunteering, whether for appointed or elected office. Let me give you an example. The little city of Bayfield, up on Lake Superior, I talked to the mayor up there, Mayor Ringberg. He has 75 positions that he needs to fill on various boards, committees, advisory councils, in order for their city to function. They've only got a population of about 450. So it almost literally means one in five people has to be engaged in that local government for it to operate.
Jerry DeShane, the cell phone is breaking up a little bit. Maybe the handset would be better. But the people, WPR did a series leading up to the election in 2016, and one of the stories that I did was this local engagement thing. I went to Greenwood, which is over in, I think, Clark County, right? Mm-hmm. And they had a situation where people, in the tease for the show, it got to the point where they have to pay $20 to every person that goes to one of these volunteer meetings. And these things are very formal, but you know, is it because people are too busy, or what do you think, Ryan Westrate?
I mean, you know, it's interesting. You know, obviously I live in Eau Claire County, and so it's, you know, kind of what I focus on. But you've got 29 county board members, and I ran in the spring of 2014, and I think there were nine of us, nine contested races, and it was the most contested seats in anyone's memory. I mean, out of 29. Okay, I mean, why people don't, I think there's a couple of key reasons. One, I think, yes, we are busier. In a massive point of irony, the devices of our life, our smartphones, our laptops, our desktops, connect us to so many more responsibilities. I mean, kind of on a moment-by-moment basis. I mean, the fact that we have to have laws about not texting while driving kind of gives you an idea of how connected we are to our devices and to our responsibilities.
Right.
And so I think it is yes, we're just more busy. I mean, if you think of our grandparents' generation, you know, still kind of the industrial age was still relatively newish. You know, a lot of agrarian families, you know, so where when your job was over at the end of the day, you went home and then you were home. I mean, you didn't have this. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have sports consuming families' lives from age three, you know, on. You didn't have, you know, the social network as something that had to be constantly updated. I mean, you're constantly connecting with other people via Twitter or Facebook or whatever.
But what you did have were the Masons, the Elks. You know, you had all these groups.
Fraternal orders, the Lions. I mean, I'm a member of the Lions group out in Fall Creek. And so I think that, A, it's busy, and then, B, I think that people no longer feel the need to join, to be part of a community or part of a group in order to be connected to what's going on.
Hmm.
And then also I think as a direct result of social media in the last decade of technology, I think we've seen increasingly that people see themselves as more important. And as an example I spent 50 minutes on the phone with a woman that wants to run for Congress. And when I said, have you ever held elective office before? No, she hasn't. And when I suggested, you know, start with the county board, start with the city council, start with the school board, she saw herself as being more important than that, kind of, which I found just, incredibly off-putting. But B, I think that people don't realize how absolutely important and integral these local bodies are. You know, if for instance, in front of a commercial building I manage, they recently put in a sidewalk. Nobody asked me if we needed a sidewalk there. There was no, and where I think one of the largest property owners on the road, you know, and so now I have to shovel a sidewalk every time it snows, mm-hmm. as a result of some decision made by whether it's the city of Altoona or Eau Claire County or whatever, and that no one came and got my input about it or the property owner's input. That the fact that I have to shovel that sidewalk is significantly more impactful to me on a daily basis than almost anything the House of Representatives is going to do.
Right.
Okay. And so I think people just don't realize how important and necessary the civic engagement at the local level is. And I think, again, it's because we live in this information age where they're much more plugged into national issues or to, you know, quote unquote, sexy issues. And so nobody really nobody connects them very well to these local issues that in the end are going to impact them much more on a daily basis.
Jerry DeShane, why isn't local government sexy?
Putting a sidewalk in front of Brian's house is nowhere near as cool as education reform or building a wall around Mexico or whatever it is. I think Brian laid it out very well. People are so plugged in that it seems like the world is right next to them, and they lose track of the fact that where we put sidewalks, somebody's got to decide that. And it used to be that we understood that we all got together at City Hall on Tuesday night and hashed that stuff out and came out with the decision that was in the best interest of the community. I think, you know, and I have to back up. I have five children. They're all grown and gone now. Our calendar used to be color-coded so that we could keep track of where everyone was after school until bedtime. They were gone, and, you know, there are five kids. They were gone in, I think, 12 different directions sometimes. But I think there's another piece here, and I don't want to lose track of that. I think we've also stopped asking people to serve.
Really?
I think there's some elements there. Yeah. I think it's just gotten forgotten. Politics feels a little uglier to people, so people are a little less willing to talk about it. And I'm not saying that's the silver bullet. There is no silver bullet here. But I think that's a piece of it.
So, kind of following up on that, and, you know, to me, and I can't measure this, I'm sure people have, but the amount of political stuff you see on Facebook, especially in this last election, but long before that. Brian Westrate, if you mentioned if somebody participates in a protest, that counts. That is a civic engagement. What about sharing an article or sharing a petition online on social media? Does that count?
Yeah, you know, excuse me. It's interesting that you mentioned that because I think it does count, okay? I don't mean to diminish anyone's contribution to the conversation about any issue. That being said, I think that what social media has allowed to happen, again, oddly enough perhaps, or just unintended consequences of technology, is you've got people who might otherwise actually be civically engaged. And by actually what I mean is boots on the ground, going to a meeting or serving in a role or being part of a think tank or whatever, spending their time on social media, sharing their thoughts, their concerns, whatever. And then they feel like they've, quote unquote, done something, right? Oh, I mean, I spent an hour and a half on Facebook yesterday blogging about, you know, the wall between us and Mexico. Well, and again, I don't mean to diminish that as a legitimate national conversation, you know, method of communication. But in the end, that is simply not as impactful, I would argue, for your community, or as perhaps beneficial, for lack of a better term, for your community to – if you had spent the same hour and a half going to your county board meeting and maybe speaking up during the public comment period about whether or not your county is going to spend $300,000 to buy 40 acres of land or put that sidewalk in front of somebody's building or whatever the case may be. In politics, one of the jokes we use, those of us who are kind of political operatives, yard signs. Okay, yard signs, I mean, study after study shows that they have less than 1% effect on anyone's voting trend, right? But we spend an inordinate amount of time, energy, and resources on yard signs because the average citizen comes in and they get a yard sign, and God bless them because that, you know, makes them more active than 95% of the rest of the people.
Makes them feel good.
It makes them feel good, but it doesn't accomplish anything. it's this kind of mental gymnastics that I think we allow ourselves to do where we equate discourse with action. And they're not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Jerry DeShane, do citizens, each and every one of us, have a responsibility to go beyond voting, to go beyond, you know, posting on social media or whatever, to actually serve in some capacity at the local level?
I would contend the answer to that's absolutely yes. As I said earlier, Abraham Lincoln said it, but it goes back to one of the Greek philosophers that, you know, we are a government of the people. A democracy is literally, it's not a ruling class. You weren't born into the Trump class of rulers or the Clinton class of rulers. We elect them from our own friends and neighbors. And then the other part of that is going back to something that Brian said, the difference between, you know, posting your opinion about the sidewalk in front of Brian's property, that has value. And it absolutely does have value. But what has even more value is to sit down with Brian and with Brian's neighbors and the people that need to walk to the shopping center by Brian. Because we all have different perspectives on things. And the fundamental essential of democracy is all those viewpoints sit down at a table and come up with a solution that we can all live with. And that really is what's missing when people don't engage directly in the process of government.
Yeah, I mean, to Jerry's point, you know, Jerry, you're absolutely spot on. I mean, we have a representative form of government, and you can't represent people you don't understand. You can't represent people you haven't talked to. You can't represent people that you don't know. It's one of the reasons why, for instance, we don't like, as a people group, we don't like carpetbaggers, the notion of somebody who moves into an area and then right. wants to represent it in government. Mm-hmm. Because how are you going to represent me if you don't know me? And if you don't haven't lived here, you don't know how we live. And so I think that the jury is absolutely right that and that's part of, I think, the cautionary tale of social media is it results in people talking at each other instead of with each other. It is really hard to replace one-on-one communication because – and you've been in the media, Rich, so you know. I mean, people will blog things or post things about you, what a terrible human being you are, that you know they would never, ever, ever say to you if they were one-on-one. Right? One-on-one interpersonal communication, there is a lot of value there, and we're losing it. And I don't have a solution to it, but I think that's part and parcel with why we're seeing less boots-on-the-ground civic engagement.
It has been a fascinating kind of paradox, the social media thing. You're more connected than ever, but yet, not, who's the person next to
you? You're not talking with each other. You're talking to, you know,
exactly.
at each other.
Right, right.
And there is a huge, huge difference between the two. Talking to one another is the only way government works. Talking at each other, in some ways, leads to destruction.
Right. Yes.
It holds the whole thing up.
It's the difference between power and collaboration. If you're talking at someone, you're trying to exert power. If you're talking with someone, you're trying to form collaboration, and there's a difference.
Let's take our first break. When we get back, we're going to get into some of the details of a survey that was conducted on behalf of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities last year. It was in the lead-up to the presidential election. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. We would love to have some of our listeners tell us how – well, give us a call with your thoughts and questions. But the question I've got for you is, have you served in local government? Was it rewarding? What did you get out of it? Did you think it could be – there could be easier access? Could there be things that are changed that make it more attractive to people, maybe younger people? We'll get into all of that when we come back with more West Side.
Support for WPR comes from Sitka Salmon Shares, an Alaskan community-supported fishery with Wisconsin roots, offering sustainable Alaskan seafood from its family of fishermen. Details and delivery info at sitkasalmonshares.com. Wisconsin Public Radio is in your community, inspiring conversations, building connections, and covering the stories that affect you and your family. Local news, issues, and events. WPR is committed to community.
It's Monday morning, and you're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. We are talking about politics. Well, people have automatically made up their minds when they hear that word. They think it's an ugly thing, but local politics or local government is a vitally important part of Wisconsin, part of your life, really. And we're talking this hour about some that say that local engagement in your city council, your village board, your town board is on the decline, especially in rural areas. With me this hour, I've got Jerry DeShane of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and Brian Westrade of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. With a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. Also, you can post on the West Side Facebook page. I'll do my best to get it on the air. So, Jerry, the League basically commissioned the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance to do a big survey, a lot of different topics. But one of the things that came up, and it seemed to be somewhat of a surprise, kind of a blip in this overall study, showed that only 4 to 5% of municipalities reported two or more candidates for each board seat. And especially in rural areas, there was a lot of these races where these mayors or these local government officials said that they didn't have any candidate or just one. So a lot of uncontested local races. What do you think is going on there?
Well, I think what's going on is what you and Brian and I have been talking about for the last few minutes. There is this general feeling that, hey, I'm just busy. I don't have time for that. The other thing that's happening, quite frankly, in those rural areas is, population-wise, they're not growing. A lot of villages, small cities throughout Wisconsin, and, of course, townships, are not adding population. So you're not getting that churn of new people and new ideas. You point out that it was a bit of a surprise. It absolutely was. We did not go looking for that. What we were really asking our local officials about was, you know, in general, how's your city doing? How's your village doing? Did you recover from the Great Recession? And, oh, by the way, how is the vitality of your elective offices? Are you getting enough people taking out nomination papers, filling those ballots? And as you cited, we found that in only 1 in 20 cities or villages was there truly robust competition for local government seats. That number was a shocker for us.
Shocking, but it almost sounds like it could be a threat of some sort. Is it a threat? And I asked you this before when we did a story about this. WPR did a part of a series. Is that a threat to local government or to democracy? I don't mean to be too, you know, I don't mean to exaggerate the issue, though.
Well, first of all, let me say that I view representative democracy as one of the most amazing self-healing processes out there. So is it a long-term existential threat to representative democracy? No. I think if people see that their community is poorly represented, and if they see their city hall making really outrageous, foolish decisions, the people will quickly realize that somebody needs to be watching Penthouse. And I think then all of a sudden you'll see more people running for public office. I do think there is a more insidious challenge, though, and we are facing that right now, and that's the challenge of not enough fresh ideas. As I said, demographically, Wisconsin's got a huge challenge ahead of us.
Yes.
And we need people thinking creatively, and one of the recipes there is quantity. You just simply have to have a lot of different ideas at the table, and that's, I think, what we're missing out on.
Brian Westrate.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that I think that everything you said is true. And, you know, perhaps more of an existential threat is the notion of generational idea, understanding of generosity, of putting community, putting state, putting nation before self. That, I think, is a concern for me. I mean, because, you know, you have to have internalized the idea that service to others is a good way to live your life in order to be willing to, A, run for an office and then, B, go serve on what are largely thankless bodies. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the pay, I mean, I'd be interested to see what Jerry thought about the idea of raising the pay for in some of these municipalities. I mean, I think in most cases it hasn't kept pace with, you know, and so – they're largely non-paid. I mean, if you get $2,500 a year for going to two meetings a month, that, I mean, right. You know, no one's going to do that for the money. It barely covers the gas or whatever the case may be.
Right.
But I think selfishness, I mean, that selfishness is I would argue, a threat to representative democracy, representative governance, because if you don't have enough people willing to sacrifice of themselves to serve others, you will eventually have government run by an oligarchy by accident, where you have just a handful of people running things because no one else is willing to do it. And again, I mean, that's alarmist. And, right, and I don't really mean that. I mean, that's but that's my concern is are we raising generations of selfishness of, you know, where, I mean, look, I'm not going to go serve on a county board or a city council board because it's not my problem. You know, I'm too busy. I got, you know, you don't pay me enough or whatever the case may be. And here's the thing. I think where you can really see some proof of that is the Kiwanis and the Lions and the Elks. And you look at any one of those chapter groups across this state and I think probably the nation, and the median age is 60.
They're hungry for young blood.
No one is joining. And so to Jerry's point, where are you going to get fresh new ideas if these county boards and city councils are made up of 65-year-old and above? I'm not denigrating. I mean, there's a lot to be said for the experience that folks who have lived life bring to the table. But if you're looking for fresh ideas, it's probably not going to come out of the group that had the last group of ideas.
Right, right. We've got a caller on the line from Shell Lake. Mary, you're on the air. What's on your mind? Whoops. Hold on one second, Mary. Oh, and we lost her. Never mind. That was a lot of buildup for not much. But I wanted to follow up on that. So individualism, a lot of people are more in, and I worry that we're going to get into the territory of, well, these kids these days.
Right. Well, and I'm 38, so, I mean, I don't, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm one of them. But
same here.
Yeah.
We're in the generations, you know, I'm technically a millennial, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is this idea of individualism, and it's not my problem. So the question is, I'm going to follow up with Brian Westray, and I'll go to Jerry DeShane. If you don't participate, you know, there's this old adage, well, if you didn't do anything about it, you have no right to complain. Is that true?
The problem is they complain anyway, right? I mean, with social media, the right to complain appears to be the millennials' sacrosanct top of the list. By goodness, we have a right to complain. Yeah, I mean, this is America. You have freedom.
It's true.
The First Amendment grants you the right to say almost anything at any point. But it's some you have the right to complain, but what you don't have is any ownership. Okay, I mean, it's, look, as Jerry said, representative democracy requires ownership. You know, fascism or monarchies, you know, they work great if you don't want to have any responsibility. But we have a nation, as Jerry said, built on collaborative notions and on working together to solve shared problems and pursue shared goals. That requires participation. And again, I don't have the answer necessarily. I mean, it's something we in the party fight. You go to almost any Republican Party, you know, event, the leadership, you know, I'm a young guy within party leadership. And you will occasionally get young men and women who engage, but they continue to be anomalies as opposed to the norm. I don't really have the answer other than, you know, just encouraging institutions within our society, churches, schools, parents, to try and pass on the notion that proper governance requires non-selfishness, that you've got to be willing to serve others.
I want to go back to the phone. We do have another caller. This one is from Ridgewood. Linda, you're on the air. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good morning.
Morning.
Calling about the demographics of people serving on boards in rural northwest Wisconsin, and it's largely the older male demographic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to find younger people to run because they're not encouraged to. A lot of times it's very close-knit. We don't do a good job of informing people so that they feel confident about running. Open meetings law, public records law, and kind of the closed circle of boards that we have now are not very inviting to newcomers.
Well, let me ask you, Linda, before I ask the guests, what do you think, whose responsibility is it to get someone that's younger, hasn't been involved in government, involved?
I think that we do have people that are younger that want to step up, but family and work commitments get in the way. And then also largely a lot of the way people, whether they're younger people or older people, are treated at public meetings is often very disrespectful. So it discourages them from participating either as an active citizen or for running and being part of a board that conducts business that way.
Okay, interesting. Well, thanks for your input. And Linda is a local official, it says on my screen here. Jerry DeShane, who do you think's who's got the responsibility to do outreach, to try to get people on the city or the village board or the city council?
all of the above, and I'm absolutely glad that Linda brought that up. The University of Wisconsin Extension did some research, and Linda didn't say this, but the reality is that women are substantially underrepresented mm-hmm. in local government. I think the number is around 25% of local elected offices
right, I
are
did,
held.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I did some basic background research. Yeah, it was 25% overall, a little higher of a percentage in the Senate than it is in the State Assembly. But I looked at the last census, and women are a majority in Wisconsin. Not by much, but still, yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, and taking that, and I hope you can hear me clearly.
Yes.
Taking that UW Extension, they dove in a little deeper. They actually went out and asked women who had been identified by others in their community as potential leaders, why aren't you stepping up? Why aren't you running? The one thing that popped out that was different for women than it was for men was women did not feel asked. And this goes back to Linda's comment about, forgive me, the middle-aged white guys sitting around the table. That is just sort of an alien-looking battleground to them. And I think part of the solution lies in asking. It's just that simple, inviting people to sit down at that table. And you're right. In a lot of cases, in a lot of very small communities, you know, the five people that are on that common council or on that town board have been doing it for years. They're comfortable with one another, and they do give strangers kind of a funny look. But you know what? You just have to get over it.
And this is something that I learned when I talked to, you know, Jim, I think it was Shekelman, the mayor of Greenwood and others, that a lot of times it's the mayor, if it's a small city council or a small, you know, it's the village, it's the board, it's people you see at the grocery basically saying, hey, we think you'd be good for this, give it a shot. And I was kind of surprised by how informal that was. What about for running for state office or
yeah.
I'm not sure if you, Brian Westrate, with the Republican Party, get involved with local politics, but do you encourage?
Of course, we get involved with local politics, and again, I don't mean that, you know, I mean because you have a big uproar of partisanship within the local politics.
Yeah.
Both parties get involved in local politics. I mean, the woman that I ran, my opponent when I ran for the county board, was, you know, used the postal indicia from the local Democrat Party. But it's because we're the ones – I mean, you turn to political parties when you're trying to fill political offices. I mean, it's just kind of a hand-in-glove sort of thing. So it's not that it's their partisan. It's experience. Yeah, exactly. I mean, who else runs elections than political parties?
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I wanted to thank Linda for serving because, as you said, she's in that service. There are a couple of things. One, I think we have to get – and Jerry, you're in a unique position, I think, to encourage this – the local municipalities to use technology better, to reach out to younger generations. I mean, look, if you want to find you know, a lion, you got to go to the jungle. I mean, and so if we're trying to engage younger, you know, millennials and young professionals, I think the government has to kind of do some catch up here with the private sector and how they're engaging and interacting and seeking candidates. And then two, we need to, and again, I would strongly encourage anyone who's listening to the show, stop talking about politics as if it's a bad thing. Stop talking about politics as if it's an evil, and messy business. I mean, yes, it can be a messy business, but as Jerry said, it is literally miraculous in human history that we have a nation that for 240 years and now the strongest military in the most expansive economy in the world transfers power from one diametrically opposed ideology to the other without a single drop of blood being shed.
Mm-hmm.
That is a magical thing. That is a miraculous thing in human history. And so as you're talking to others and as you're engaging on social media and whatnot, try and build service, build politics, quote unquote, up as a positive thing. I mean, as Jerry said, that this is a way you can engage and make a difference and be positive. Instead of making it sound like it's leprosy, you know, like if you get involved in politics, you're going to catch something. And I mean, no, because as long as we continue that conversation and kind of that cultural mentality, why would you want to get involved? But if we talk about it the way we talk about serving at the food pantry, more people might be willing to step up and say, oh, yeah, I'd love to serve in that capacity. I'd love to help my neighbors and friends.
Mm-hmm.
and talk about it, you know, as a positive thing. As Jerry said, coming together to deciding, well, do we need a sidewalk in front of Brian's property? Well, yes, we do, because the bus stop is four blocks that way and the grocery store is, you know, three blocks the other direction. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, that – so just changing the narrative about politics, I think, would go a long ways to encouraging people.
That's a tall order, especially these days, Brian. Yes.
I know. I'll wave my magic wand, right, and unicorns will make it happen. But, yeah. I mean, still anybody who might be listening, at least just try and think of that the next time you're doing a Facebook post.
One more break, and we've got plenty of discussion to come. We're talking about civic engagement at the local level, state level, federal level. People are active in talking about politics, but there are surveys, at least in Wisconsin, even here in western Wisconsin, there are reports that they're not so active at the city council or the village board. We're talking about why it's important to serve in local government and what you can do to help your neighbors and what you can do to get involved. I'm joined by Brian Westrade. He's the Republican Party chair for the 3rd Congressional District here in Wisconsin, western Wisconsin. And Jerry DeShane is the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. This is the West Side.
Wisconsin has an amazing story of leadership and innovation in public broadcasting. But we know that what we do today to serve you and how we plan to serve you in the future is what matters most. Hi, I'm Mike Crane, director of WPR. Thank you for making 100 years of public broadcasting in Wisconsin possible. Find special centennial events, share your story, and explore more at wpr.org/100.
Support for WPR comes from the University of Wisconsin Carbone Cancer Center and its affiliate partners across the state and in Northern Illinois. On the web at uwhealth.org/cancer. Support also comes from UW Eau Claire Theater, presenting Sondheim's Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, through March 5th at Gantner Concert Hall. Tickets are at 800-949-UWEC.
Next week on the West Side, we'll be welcoming officials from Western Wisconsin's four-year universities, River Falls, Stout, and UW-Eau Claire, to learn about what they think of Governor Scott Walker's state budget proposal and how it may impact their local campuses, the students, faculty, staff, administration, you name it. Today, we're talking about local government. We're talking about politics. It's not a dirty word, according to my guests, and in fact, it's quite important. Civic engagement has been notably on decline in the last number of decades. I remember when I was in college reading a part of an essay called Bowling Alone by Robert Putnam. Fascinating, fascinating study about the decline since the early 1900s of civic organizations and engagement in the United States.
I actually have a copy of that book.
It's really good. I only read part of it, and it was for an assignment. So,
sure.
Joining me in the studio right now, Brian Westrade. He's the 3rd Congressional District Republican Party Chair for Wisconsin, and Jerry DeShane is joining us by phone. He is the Executive Director for the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. The League of Wisconsin Municipalities conducted a survey and found that a lot of local governments, especially cities and villages in more rural areas with less than 15,000 people, had a real hard time trying to recruit people to run for local office, even though it's very simple. People felt, and in another survey said, people felt a little nervous about reprisals. People didn't feel like they had enough self-confidence about it. So we're digging deeper into this. We'd also love to hear your stories. If you've been involved in local politics, if you refuse to, for whatever reason, let us know. 1-800-228-5615. You can also check out the Westside Facebook page. So, Jerry, you were talking about women in local government. I wanted to bring that up because I do have some of the stats here. And you mentioned that they didn't feel asked. Women did not feel asked. But another thing is that women were reportedly at a much higher level than men, said that they didn't feel confident enough. Like they didn't think they'd be able to do the job, that it might have been too difficult. And they were more afraid than men were in this survey that they'd be attacked for making a decision that was unpopular. Those are some pretty interesting statistics. And what do we make of it, and how do we turn it around?
Well, and the short answer, Rich, is
we don't really know yet. We need to dig a little deeper. Let me just speculate here. You know, with my sociology degree that I got out of the pop machine this morning.
Hmm.
Cultural, that because we have this history. Remember that voting for men goes all the way back to the founding of our country, but for women, voting was a 20th century innovation, if you will.
Sure.
So I think culturally, we're still catching up. We're catching up slowly. Women, boy, you know, the more I generalize about what women are and what women aren't, the more likely we're going to get a nasty phone call. But let's give it a shot here. I have seen and been told by a number of women that the moment you reach parity, the tenor of conversation on those boards and on those committees changes, because women generally tend to be more collaborative, which I think we would all agree is a very good thing. But I think one of the downsides of that on the front end is that a woman takes more coaxing and convincing that she has all the experience she needs to run for office. Men at this point in our history seem willing to dive right in and just automatically assume that they know enough to be president. But women are a little more thoughtful, a little more cautious. Again, I want to say at this point in our history, because I think that's evolving.
I think there's definitely a lot of cultural and historical issues, and people study this for their entire lives, of course. But I want to ask the simple question, and both of you, I'll get to Brian West Street in just a second, but what does it take to serve in local government? I mean, how do you have to have a degree? Do you have to be an expert on the crazy, you know, legal language that goes into bills or whatever? Jerry DeShane, I'll start with you.
And the short answer is absolutely not. Our elected officials should reflect our community. That, you know, whatever the proportion is of people with college degrees, PhDs, whatever, but also whatever proportion of blue-collar workers there are in that community. You do not need advanced training in anything in order to serve in elective office in Wisconsin. Linda talked about open records laws, open meetings laws, all of that sort of thing. The League has been around for 118 years solely for the purpose of teaching you that once you're in the office chair, and it's just not that hard to pick up. I don't want anyone to stay away from public office because they don't think they've got the background. 16 years ago, when I was recruited to run for a local school board, the only thing that my friend who asked me, the only thing that he wanted from me was a commitment to common sense, that I didn't have a particular axe to grind and that I had an open mind and that I was willing to approach every question with a fresh look. And I think that's all we could ask of anybody in elected office.
Brian Westray.
Yeah, a pulse, I think, is the bare minimum required to. And look, the you know, here in Eau Claire County, for instance, it takes 20 signatures to get on the ballot of your community, of your neighbors. Like, wow. Just 20 people that, not even that they're going to vote for you, but just to give you the opportunity to be on the ballot. People aren't asked. We've talked about this repeatedly today. I went to some NRA training back in 2006 during the gubernatorial race.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they talk about is you have to ask people. You have to ask them more than once. The average person will need to be asked multiple times before they will step forward and run for something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I encourage you, folks, to be thinking about folks in your life who you think would provide something on a board. For instance, I live in a town of Lincoln. Okay, it's an agrarian community. So my business political science degree – so what?
Mm-hmm.
It's not particularly useful. What is useful is, you know, our chairman is a farmer and knows about the axle weight, that a loaded truck full of beans is going to place on the roadway and the stress and where it's going to have, right? I mean, that's not white-collar knowledge.
Right.
But that is exactly the type of knowledge that's needed in that community. You are capable, you are qualified to serve on these boards. And as Jerry said, new ideas are not going to come from the same old people. So step forward. I just wanted to briefly say about female or women in government. I think that one of the – and again, like Jerry, put on my Cracker Jack sociology degree. I think that part of it is, again, men and women are different. I mean, anyone who has both a son and a daughter knows that to be true, sure. And I do. But that and again, as Jerry said, there are historical, certainly historical, you know, issues and societal issues. But two, I think that you know, because again, just of who bears children and all the rest of it, we still in the society have more women staying at home and raising families either after they've gotten a profession started or before they start the profession. And so, you know, I think the men a lot of times get asked at work. Mm-hmm. To run, you know, they get to a certain executive level or certain managerial level, and someone will say, "Hey, you need to go serve on this board or that board." And if you have, you know, someone, a woman who is at home caring for the family, you know, and as a husband and father myself, infinitely more work and infinitely more valuable than anything I've ever done. But there is no one in that environment who's going to encourage them to seek office or to run for something. Even though they've got all the skills and abilities and qualifications, they're just, you know, their environment is different than still different in today's society than a lot of men, you know, who are going to work every day. So I think that's probably part of it is too. So I, again, encourage people, you know, if you know that stay-at-home mom, if you know that home, the person that's at home taking care of elderly parents perhaps or whatever the case may be, encourage them, you know, seek them out at church or at school or you know, your coffee clatch and encourage them to put those skills and abilities to use in government, in local government.
We have we've got three callers on. We've got about 5 minutes or 6 minutes, so we're gonna try to get them all on. Harry in Rock Creek, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'd like to give a shout out to the league plus the towns association. Both of those organizations really help people who don't, you know, are coming in at the baseline. Mm-hmm. They're just tremendous, tremendous resources. And I'm going to put a little optimism in here and a little pessimism. We do, in our current election, we do have a young woman running for supervisor, unopposed. All our positions are unopposed, and we have an unfilled position also. Mm. So it's a little bit of a both, I'd like to say. But I'm just going to thank you guys for trying to put this out as an issue, because it really is one. It's very hard for people to get involved. They don't. They fear it. Even like our budget meetings. You know, we have a budget meeting every year for the electors to come to reference the budget and vote on the budget, vote on the tax levy, and you know who shows up?
The same people.
The board.
Yeah.
So I really think somehow we do have to really concentrate on this. So,
excellent.
But thanks for your efforts.
Yeah, thanks.
Talk to you later.
Thanks for the call, and it's encouraging news over there in Rock Creek. Let's go to Eau Claire, and Sandra, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to thank you for doing this program. As someone who was asked to run for local public office, I do agree with the comment, and I think women feel they need to be asked, and hopefully, as we get more women involved, we can change that.
Mm-hmm.
Just thank you so much for doing this program. I'm going to be doing one on a national level tomorrow, so this is very helpful.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, we've got a celebrity in our midst. Thanks so much, Sandra.
Thank you.
And good luck in your efforts to run for office. Let's take the last call of the day. Willem in Colfax, we're close to the end of the hour, so what's on your mind? Willem, are you there? Oh, there must be some kind of technical difficulty. I can hear some feedback. So, Brian Westrait, real quickly, I mean, we're talking about local government, but I wanted to point out two things also. Because during the last election, I did a count, and I did a report on this for Wisconsin Public Radio News. There were 52 seats that were uncontested at the state level, state legislature, state Senate and state assembly. Also, at the congressional level, there was no opposition to Ron Kind.
Yes.
That is your entire job, is trying to get him out of office.
No, I'm kidding.
So even at that level, it's hard to get people to run? Or what's playing into those kind of statistics?
Yeah, it is absolutely hard to get people to run. I mean, especially at the congressional level. I mean, you know, when you ask somebody, oh, by the way, I need you to spend 6 months or more, literally 80 hours a week of your life probably tens of thousands of your own dollars, and you're going to need to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars from your friends and family, again, to run against, in our case, an incumbent, you know, a 22-year incumbent with $2.2 million in the bank. That's just a hard sell.
Very tough.
You know, I think we've touched on a lot of the reasons. I think politics, it has gotten not more nasty. I mean, if you look back, you know, John Adams was called his rotundity, you know, in the paper.
Right.
But it's gotten more immediately nasty, meaning because of Twitter, because of Facebook, because of social media and that connectivity, people are able to attack others more personally, more quickly, and in a wider audience. And so it's just a struggle.
With the state legislative races, I'm wondering what role does redistricting play a role in it? Because you were one of the people I interviewed for that story, and it is pretty tough for certain people from certain parties to win in areas where Republicans or Democrats are very comfortable. Say, example, the 3rd Congressional District. It's pretty safe for Ron Kind right now.
Right. I mean, redistricting does play a part of it, but people need to realize it's something like 24% of Americans move on a yearly basis. The politics is not static. Politics is dynamic. And you need to know more than that. Then in the 3rd District, in 2012, President Obama won 12 of the 18 counties. And
yes.
In 2016, Mrs. Clinton won 3 of the 18 counties.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, so this notion that Democrat or Republican is immutable, it just doesn't pan out. In this last election cycle, if in fact the notion that these were hard rules was true, Pat Teston won in the 24th, beating a Democrat, and Trigg Pronchinsky won in the 92nd, beating a Democrat. So, I mean, yes, that does play into it, but give it a couple of years, people move.
All right. With 30 seconds, I'm going to ask the two of you to split that time and solve the problem. Jerry DeShane, what do we do to get more people interested in local office, state office, et cetera?
Put Brian on the road preaching service to local governments. That'll take care of it.
All right. You going to fund that?
No, I'll do it for free. It's
okay.
Service.
It is service.
It's 10 years of volunteer service is what I do.
Brian Westreet, last thoughts?
Yeah. Just treat each other nicely. Treat each other nicely and ask your friends and neighbors to give them themselves.
Thank you both so much. That was a fun conversation. A lot of great calls, too. I really appreciate it. Brian Westreet is Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District Republican Party Chair. Jerry DeShane is Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again next Monday morning.